Shayor Hadha Madhava Kundabhyari. Shayor Hadha Madhava Kundabhyari. Kopidana Balaba Yirvanadari Kopidana Balaba Yirvanadari Yaso dananana brada dhanaranjana Yaso dananana brada dhanaranjana Jamunatiha vanachari Jamunatiha Vanachari Shayoradha Madhava Kundabhyari Shayoradha Madhava Kundabhyari Kopidana Balaba Yirvanadari Kopidana Balaba Yirvanadari Yaso dananana brada dhanaranjana Yaso dananana brada dhanaranjana Jamunatiha Vanachari Jamunatiha Vanachari Jayorada Madhava Kundabhyari Jayorada Madhava Kundabhyari Jaya Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Pravidakacharya Asatara Siddhu Sri Sriman His Divine Grace Shall A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Raj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Gaur Premanande Hari all glories to the sound devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Purushtai Vidaya Sri Mate Bhakti Vidanta Swami Tanavane. Namaste Sarasatam Deve Gauravani Vijarane. Nirvishesha Shunivadi Paskatya De Sitarne. Om Aganatamarandas Ya Gananjana Salakaya. Chaksu Undalitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Pandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavam Scha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Prajana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shiva Sakanzitamscha Hey Krishna Karna Sindo Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prishubhanu Sutadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakapa Dhruvyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Padidanam Bhavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pranitananda Shadvaiti Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 15, The Description of the Kingdom of God, Text Number 21. Sri Rupini Kwanayati Sharna Aravindam Lila Ambujena Hari Sadmani Mukta Dosha Sam Lakshyate Spatika Kudye Upeta Hemni Samarjati Eva Yat Anugrahane Anya Yatna Sri Rupani Kwanati Charnaravindam Lilambujena Harisadmani Mukta Dosha Sam Lakshate Spartika Kudya Upeta Hemni Samarjativa Yadanugrahanenya Yatna Sri Rupani Kwanati Charnaravindam Lilambujena Harisadmani Mukta Dosha Sam Lakshate Spartika Kudya Upeta Hemni Samarjitiva Yadanugrahanenya Yatna Vani Kwanati Charnaravindam Lilambujena Harisadmani Mukta Dosha Samlakshate Spatika Kudya Upetya Hemni Samarjiti Vayanunugrahenya Yatna Sri Rupani Kwanati Charnaravindam Lilambujena Harisadmani Mukta Dosha samlakshite svatika kudya upete me. Samarjiti vayadunugrahenya yatna. Sri Rupni Kwayati Tarnaravindam Vilam Budena Isadmini Mukta Dosha Samlakshate Svatika Kudya Upetya Hemni. Amargiti vayadunugrahenya yatna. Matajis. Rupni kwayati charnaravindam. Vida budena harisadmini mukta dosha. Om lakshate spartika kudya upete me. Marditi vayanu nugrahen yayatna. Sri Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune. Rupini, assuming a beautiful form. Kwanayati, tingling. Charna Aravindam, lotus feet. Lila Ambujena, playing with a lotus flower. Hari Sadmani, the house of the Supreme Personality. Mukta dosha, freed from all faults. Samlakshyate, becomes visible. Spatika, crystal. Kudye, walls. Upeta, mixed. Hemni, gold. Samarjati, Eva, appearing like a sweeper. Yet anugrahani, to receive her favor. Anya, others. Yatna, very much careful. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The ladies in the Vaikuntha planets are the ladies in the Vaikuntha planets are as beautiful as the goddess of fortune herself. Such transcendentally beautiful ladies, their hands playing with lotuses and their leg bangles tinkling, are sometimes seen sweeping the marble walls, which are bedecked at intervals with golden borders, in order to receive the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada's purport. In the Brahma Samhita is stated that the Supreme Lord Govinda is always served in his abode by many, many millions of goddesses of fortune. Lakshmi Sahasra Shata Sambrahma Sevyamanam. These millions and trillions of goddesses of fortune who reside in the Vaikuntha planets are not exactly consorts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but are the wives of the devotees of the Lord, and also engage in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is stated here that in the Vaikuntha planets, the houses are made of marble. Similarly, in the Brahma Samhita, it is stated that the ground on the Vaikuntha planets is made of touchstone. Thus, there is no need to sweep the stone in Vaikuntha, for there is hardly any dust on it. But still, in order to satisfy the Lord, the ladies there always engage in dusting the marble walls. Why? The reason is that they are eager to achieve the grace of the Lord by doing so. It is stated here that in the Vaikuntha planets, the goddesses of fortune are faultless. Generally, the goddess of fortune does not remain steadily in one place. Her name is Chanchala, which means one who is not steady. We find, therefore, that a man who is very rich may become the poorest of the poor. Another example is Ravan. Ravana took away Lakshmi, Sita ji, from his kingdom, and instead of being happy by the grace of Lakshmi, his family and his kingdom were vanquished. Thus, Lakshmi in the house of Ravana is Chanchala, or unsteady. Men of Ravana's class want Lakshmi only without her husband, Narayan. Therefore, they become unsteady due to Lakshmi ji. Materialistic persons find fault on the part of Lakshmi, but in Vaikuntha, Lakshmi ji is fixed in the service of the Lord. In spite of her being the goddess of fortune, she cannot be happy without the grace of the Lord. Even the goddess of fortune needs the Lord's grace in order to be happy. Yet in the material world, even Brahma, the highest created being, seeks the favor of Lakshmi for happiness. Text again. Shri Rupani Kwananeti Charanaravindam Lila Bhujena Harisadmani Mukta Dosha Sam Lakshate Spatika Kudya Upeta Hemi Sam Marjitiva Yaranugrahanyena Yatna. The ladies in the Vaikuntha planets are as beautiful as the goddess of fortune herself. Such transcendentally beautiful ladies, their hands playing with lotuses and their leg bangles tinkling, are sometimes seen sweeping the marble walls, which are bedecked at intervals with golden borders, in order to receive the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutaya Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Vicharane Nirvishesha Shunivadi Paskatya Desatarne. Here is a description of the kingdom of God, although it seems to be quite simple, but in one sense it is not very easy to understand exactly what's going on in the kingdom of God. Just like, for instance, in order to understand the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, one has to have transcendental senses, or spiritual senses, or in other words, purified senses. Because the activity that's going on in the spiritual world is called rasa. Krishna bhakti rasa bhavitamati kriyatam kute bilabhyate tatra loyam mulyanam ekala mulyanam janmakoti sukritarna labhyate. That Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita mati, when the consciousness is absorbed in the rasa of Krishna consciousness, in the mellows of Krishna consciousness, then that is called, or when the mind is absorbed in the mellows of loving Krishna, that's called Krishna consciousness. Therefore, the preliminary qualification to understand these descriptions is that one has to be Krishna conscious. Otherwise, according to our previous experiences in the material world, which means our present conditioning, as Krishna says, sattva nirupa sarvasya sharad bhavati bharata sharoma yo yo purusham yo yat stratas eva saha, that according to the modes of material nature that the living entity has acquired due to one's previous activities, therefore, one has a particular conception of life, particular experience of reality. And whatever we hear about anything, whether it be transcendental or mundane, then, of course, we have to experience it through our conditional state. One who's in the mode of goodness, whose senses are comparatively more pure, whose intelligence and mind are comparatively more pure, for such a devotee, or even such a person, it's more easy to understand what is being said For those who are covered by the modes of ignorance and passion, it becomes progressively more difficult to, in truth, understand the reality of what's being explained. Therefore, there's always the possibility that, not only the possibility, but the very likelihood that we're going to impose our particular conceptions, present conceptions, on the descriptions that are being given to us, even in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So here it explains that the goddesses of fortune, or those who are almost like the goddesses of fortune, they're cleaning their houses. There is no, you know, understanding that why don't they get a job or do something more productive, or what are they wasting their time? They have some cleaning phobia or something. Probably gives you a story that one time he caught his daughter cleaning the light sockets, and he chastised her. Not exactly light sockets, where you plug in the plugs. I guess at that time they even had them in India. You plug in something, and she's cleaning them out, and he threatened her. He's going to kill her if she kept on cleaning like that. Because obviously she would have electrocuted herself. Probably wouldn't have had to kill her. The electricity would have killed her. But in order to emphasize that, Prabhupada threatened her. So he said it was some kind of cleaning phobia. So it is not that the goddesses of fortune had some kind of cleaning phobia, but, as explains here, that the spiritual world is a different priorities. The priorities there are that of pure devotion. Although things that seemingly have no significance here in the material world, there they have all significance. Actually, if we examine this material world, we'll find out that the same priorities are there. They're just mixed up, that's all. In other words, we may do something very spectacular in some people's worldly estimation. Just like it is said, that Indra, even if he does something wonderful, that if he keeps on praising himself, then most people think it's insignificant. And that even if someone does something insignificant, if you have love for the person, then that thing will seem very significant. Just like mothers and fathers, when their little child stands up, it is a big event. But if you tell an Olympic runner that this little child stood up and took two steps, probably wouldn't be very impressed by it. In other words, love is the actual motivating force by which we judge everything. If we love something, if we're attracted to something, if we then, even something very insignificant in that particular field becomes, well, it's very significant. Undoubtedly, if there is some convention of butterfly collectors in Los Angeles today, then if someone found a very rare butterfly at the convention, people would actually appreciate it quite a bit, quite a lot. And it would be advertised and glorified in their magazine. Photos of the butterfly would be broadcast over the internet. There would be words of praise for the person who found the butterfly. Previous founders of butterflies would be, their biographies would be explained, how they captured these butterflies, what the dimensions of the nets are, everything about butterflies. And of course, for us, hopefully, it would not be very significant. Because after all, we'd understand that by such devotion to the butterflies and the collection of the butterflies and the butterfly net and its dimensions and all the details and all whatever is going into butterfly collecting will simply lead the people to become, in their next lifetimes, maybe a butterfly by such absorption and consciousness. Love is there, and undoubtedly Krishna recognizes that love is the super soul, and he awards them the appropriate body of a butterfly. Just like recently there was some Olympic Games. There's always Olympic Games. But what is the result of such intense endeavor? For example, swimming in the swimming pool faster in the free stroke or the breaststroke or the butterfly or whatever other stroke, very endeavoring with great determination to become a champion in that particular field. The result is that Krishna will certainly recognize that devotion, and in the next lifetime one will become a fish. So Krishna is definitely reciprocating our devotion, even in this material world, but in ways that are less than desirable from the spiritual point of view. And probably quite surprising to people in the material world who are hearing that the goal of life is to become a hero by swimming or jumping or throwing something or kicking something or hitting some stick, a little ball. They'll pay someone who can hit a little ball with a stick millions, if not billions of dollars. And they'll be glorified and everyone's going to appreciate them. And their biography, they'll ask them about how the United States should be organized. Because they hold this as very important, hitting that little ball into a hole. That is their priority in life. But here it explains that in the spiritual world, there's a different priority. That priority is to please Krishna, because by pleasing Krishna, everyone becomes pleased. And even something that here would be considered quite insignificant, but there, because it's done simply to please Krishna out of pure love, what's produced is not a clean marble wall, but the emotion of love emanating from the pure devotees, which fills the whole atmosphere of Vaikuntha with transcendental bliss, transcendental ecstasy. It is not that Krishna is pleased by the clean wall, because obviously the wall is always clean. But he's pleased by the feeling and the sentiment of trying to please him. And the result of that, because Krishna is the reservoir of all pleasure, therefore everyone becomes benefited, everyone becomes pleased. Therefore it's actually productive. If we want to produce something, we might as well produce pure pleasure. Nowadays people want to produce so many things to indirectly become happy. They're thinking by producing cars and computers and so many things will become happy. But after all, it is simply a combination and permutations of the same material energy, which has never in any form or another perfectly made us happy for any amount of time. So whether we make it into a computer, or we make it into a car, or it's made into the form of the most beautiful material body, still it is made out of the same material elements: earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. And no matter how much love and devotion we display towards that particular form of the material nature, it still remains the material nature. And the reciprocation is that if you become attracted to something, then you develop the same qualities of that particular, or at least you're given some situation which reflects your devotion to that particular object that you become attracted to. I don't know what happens to persons who become infatuated with computers, what particular of the 8,400,000 species of life they achieve. But undoubtedly they achieve one of them. What's that? As a what? Geek. Geek. I don't know if an electron is one of the 8,400,000 species. In any case, you come back as something, whatever we become attracted to. So, Krishna advises that we should gain knowledge about him, as Srimad Bhagavatam explains. Things in relationship to Krishna, just like here, Vidura and Uddhava, they were speaking. Uddhava had asked in the beginning that Vidura had asked Maitreya Rishi, please explain to me so many things, how this material world is created, how it's going on, how the trees, the birds, everything he wanted in detail. But he said, I've already heard all these things so many times, but now I want to hear them in relationship to Krishna. Now it's in the 15th chapter. So many things have been described. Finally, the kingdom of God in relation to Krishna. And we find it's the same principle. The principle is devotion to Krishna. Whether the principle is devotion to Krishna here in the material world or the principle is devotion to Krishna in the spiritual world, it's the principle of devotion. Of course, it may appear that these things are... What is the difference between devotion to here and devotion in the spiritual world? Principally, Krishna wants devotion here in the material world so that the living entities here can find out about Krishna, so they can be reawakened to their spiritual consciousness. And in the spiritual world, the same thing is there also. But it's just more apparent because everyone there is fully Krishna conscious. And therefore, everyone is appreciating whatever act of devotion is done by the devotee, because everyone becomes blissful experiencing the acts of devotion there in the spiritual world. The very feelings that the residents of Vaikuntha have are blissful, are pleasurable, and they manifest unlimited happiness that everyone enjoys. So similarly here, the acts of devotion that the devotees manifest in their service to Krishna, that is the actual impetus for others to take up the activities of devotional service. That is our preaching. Not only we're trying to tell people that Krishna is God, but we have to manifest the happiness also. We have to appreciate the fact that he's God. The more we know about Krishna, then the more we should be able to appreciate him. And the more we appreciate him, the more we should be able to appreciate anyone, everyone, appropriately, how they're manifesting their devotion to Krishna. This is Rupa Goswami's instruction to us, that to advance in devotional service, we have to learn how to appropriately reciprocate and appreciate the devotees' devotional activities. The more we can understand appropriately how different devotees are engaged in devotional service, and the more we can appreciate their devotion, then the more we advance in devotional service, and the more others become encouraged to also advance in devotional service. Of course, one of the problems is sometimes we take something insignificant as being very insignificant or too significant, and sometimes we take something very significant as too insignificant. Sometimes our perspective is wrong. Therefore, our training is to get the right perspective. Krishneti yasya manasadritya endriyeta dikshasti chet prani tibis chabajantam isham shushushaya chabajanam ananya anya nindati sunya ridayam isita sangalabdhya. That one should mentally honor the devotees who chant the holy names. So, anyone who chants the holy name, we should mentally honor them at least, but we should be able to discriminate who we should associate with intimately. Otherwise, by such association, we may become degraded. They may be mentally chanting the holy name, but then if we go up and embrace them, or if they may be chanting the holy name, but if we embrace them just because they're chanting the holy name, we may find ourselves in difficulty. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he had heard the singing in the temple, and he ran to embrace the singer, but then Govinda, he explained to him that it is the lady who's singing. So he realized it would be inappropriate to embrace her since he was a sannyasi. So one has to learn the appropriate discrimination, but at least everything should be positive. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Na Shoshiti Na Kangshiti. That if one is enlivened by one's thoughts, one's activities, by one's perspective on life, that's called Krishna consciousness. And if one is depressed and anxiety, bewildered, that is called Maya. We may not understand exactly how we fell into Maya, but it is still Maya. Therefore, one has to learn how to appropriate, see things in such a way as to appreciate devotion under the proper time, place, and circumstance, and then how to reciprocate appropriately with that act of devotion, either by respect within the mind or cooperation, giving one's energies, surrendering, according to the level of the person or the devotee following the disciple succession, as it is coming from Lord Krishna through Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In any case, here we're trying to somehow or another spark the devotion that's dormant within everyone's heart for Krishna, and as importantly, if not more importantly, for Krishna's devotees. There's no question of loving Krishna if we don't appreciate properly and properly reciprocate with Krishna's devotees for their devotion activities. Otherwise, Krishna cannot be satisfied. If we fan him with one hand and step on his lotus feet with another, it's not going to be very appreciable by Krishna. So we have to get both things together. We have to honor his lotus feet and also perform service. So, of course, now it's the December marathon, and somehow or another, of course, it's always a marathon in Krishna consciousness. But we should recognize that there are also many persons who are potentially devotees, if not devotees from their past lives, who it's about time that they heard about Krishna again. Otherwise, there is an intense endeavor by the materialists to degrade people to the lowest denominator of material existence by trying to impress upon them devotion for materialistic things, especially the materialistic forms of liquor, sex life, gambling, killing animals. These things are taken as very lovable, these things, that everyone should appreciate and relish these things, which will send everyone to hell. And we're trying to give people association with Krishna and his pure devotees and his devotees so that people can give up these things and go back to the spiritual world, or at least, even in this lifetime, begin to experience the happiness of manifesting spiritual awareness, spiritual devotion from their heart. So, following the orders of the little paper here. Are there any questions? Thank you. Yes, follow up. Well, according to the Briha Bhagavatamrita, generally they do. There are many Vaikuntha planets, but according to Briha Bhagavatamrita, there's also variety in Vaikuntha. Just like, for instance, Gopakumara, when he went to Vaikuntha, he didn't go there in a four-arm form. He still remained in his form as a cowherd boy in Vrindavan. And no one was looking at him and thinking, where did this guy come from? Oh, there are many other cowherd boys also there. And there are many varieties of devotees there who worship different deities. And some of them came from the material world in their self-same body, and they manifested a spiritual form of Shiva or Brahma, or Indra. So there is variety, but generally we hear that the residents of Vrindavan have Swarupya Mukti. They look exactly like Krishna. But not everyone. Anyhow, go there and see. It's quite a yes, you have my permission. If that's enough, then boy, I'll give myself permission too. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Granthraj, Shrimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande, Haribol.